This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Stars from Washington, D.C., this is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 96. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She's a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money, and the website is rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
I'm well. How are you?
I got a new stand-up desk. I'm using it right now. I really like this. I think it's you already have one. I'm trying to keep up with you.
Yeah. And then one day, like a few weeks ago, I thought that it was broken, that the motor stopped working. And I was very upset. And then I was like Googling troubleshooting and all that. And then I realized that my power strip just was turned off.
I've done that too. Don't worry about it.
I was like ready to write a strongly worded email to the company.
I do like where you got your desk. And if mine didn't have as much stuff on it as far as weight, I would have gotten yours because it sounds like it was a really affordable way of doing it. I never thought that. Where'd you get it at?
IKEA. Where,
I think that's a great, because that's not the ads you normally see. I think that's probably the least expensive one you could probably get. And you like it, right?
I love it. Yeah. And it's very large and it's the whole desk moves. It's not just one of those things that just moves your computer up and down.
Yeah. Well, and I have I have a lot of weight on mine and I wanted to make sure I had motors I can lift that kind of weight. Otherwise it would break.
So does this mean the secret lab chair wasn't working out well enough? You have to stand now?
Oh no, because when I stream on Facebook gaming, I have to be in the chair because I'm driving a tractor trailer. Have you ever seen a driver in a tractor trailer? They sit.
Yes. I grew up in a trucking family. I understand.
Oh, by the way, people are getting very irate with me on Facebook because apparently Facebook is pushing me out worldwide, right? Mm-hmm. And people don't realize it's me in these ads because Facebook, I'm not paying for the ad, but apparently I'm showing up everywhere now. Mm. All they see is this old guy wearing sunglasses driving a truck. And people are coming into my room as I'm streaming. Who are you and why are you in my news feed? So, but some people love it, but they don't understand it. But it's really weird what's going on Facebook. But it's a shame our podcast isn't doing the same thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Apparently, money talk is not the same. Tell people not to touch 401k is not the same as driving a tractor trailer in a video game.
Yeah, totally not as exciting.
Yeah. Telling people not to touch 401k is not. So on this episode, I thought we'd do a special episode about furloughs and the closing up of the economy and stuff like that. Because if you recall, I went and researched back in March of 2020, depending on where you're listening to it, that's when the COVID thing was kind of starting up. Remember that? Mm-hmm. We made bold predictions back then about the stock market, jobs, you need to build up your what was all that stuff that we said about steps they need to take. We were like, stop paying, only paying minimums. Remember that? We were like, what was
the basics? Stash your cash is what I said.
There you go. Son of a gun. What happened after that? Everything. And we told you, still don't touch your 401k. Do everything you're supposed to. But if you are in a position where your job may be at risk, start stashing your cash. Pause the baby steps to pay the minimums, protect the four walls, but start building up that emergency fund a little bit more than you normally would. Most people don't do emergency funds, but now is the time to really do it, right? Remember all that?
Yes.
Well, what happened afterwards?
Craig, so you don't have to ask me. I remember.
I know. It's just a conversation. But what happened over the till now? Now we're recording this in December.
Yeah.
A lot of people lost their jobs. Stock market actually did great, which is...
Oh my gosh, so good.
I am
even better than last year.
I am so far up right now. It's scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we were 100% correct on don't touch your 401k.
We will always be correct on that, no matter what happens.
That was an easy one, but a lot of people wanted to argue with us. It's nice to show that everything we said happened. You are more optimistic and things recovered faster based on what you said than what I said. So I give you kudos on that. But overall, we nailed it 100%.
Yeah. So just to be clear, the stock market recovered along the lines I said. The economy itself is not something that I
know
much. I don't have the skill or knowledge to predict the economy.
No, that's a bigger monster that I have no knowledge in that. I stick with the stocks. Stocks are the leading indicator. What's in the? It's the forward indicator, as I say. So what I'm want to do now is, we're now going through an apparent second wave of the virus worldwide. The UK is currently shut down as we're recording this. Other countries have shut down. San Francisco just shut down. States are starting to shut down as we're in flu season. And now a large portion of our listeners have received furlough notices, a warning of a furlough, which they're required by law. I thought it would be a good idea to go through all the things we said back in March of what are the first steps that you should do if you maybe have a layoff imminent or you are being laid off, because people are now getting laid off again. Yeah. So I thought we'd just go through that. Reiterate our refined baby steps or what the plan is moving forward. This is not going to get better, in my opinion. I don't know what you think. Do you think it's going to get better anytime soon?
I think summertime next year.
Yeah, but not in the next 6 months.
Well, that's 6 months from now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but in the next, for the next 3 months? Oh, it's going to get bad.
No, I think actually it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
They say it's darkest right before the dawn. So we are about to enter the darkest time. It's going to be a very dark winter.
Yeah, I think so. I think Christmas is going to be really weird this year, just like Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, I think, was fine. I'm still waiting for the shoe to drop from what happened from Thanksgiving.
Here's the other thing that they say. When you're in panic, you make stupid decisions. So we want people to have a plan going forward so you can relax and say, look, this is the best thing to do. So you don't panic and start doing dumb things like maxing out your credit cards, going to those loan vultures along the side of the road, you know, or online. Stay away from all that. So here's what we'd like to do going forward. We can alternate this list. It's what to do if you've been laid off or you believe layoff is imminent. And we do have a lot of airline employees that layoff is imminent. Number one.
Can we just talk for a minute about receiving layoff notices? Because I have seen in the group that a lot of people are disregarding the seriousness of that and just putting their head in the sand and thinking that, well, this is just a notice required by law. It doesn't mean anything. It's a negotiating tactic.
Let's do that. I agree with you. Yeah.
So what do you think there, Craig?
Here's what's going on. With one airline that we're talking about within our Facebook group, they are currently negotiating a new contract with the union.
Yeah.
A lot of people,
but it doesn't have to be this airline. It's anytime there's negotiations. This is a very general statement that people, you know, that's one of the things, like avoidance is a way of coping with stress, right? And I feel like people saying, well, this is just a negotiating tactic, everything's going to work out fine, is an avoidance tactic rather than planning and taking control of your own destiny.
What I've been telling people is that is not a plan. Yeah. Wishing and you know, I know a lot of people are religious, but hoping, praying, all that, you can do that, but that's not a plan.
Right.
I've been trying to tell people, look, you need to start doing what we've been telling you back in March. Create a plan, look at your finances, your budget, and dust off that resume, start applying everywhere because you don't know. Sitting there wishing, it's like, well, I've never been laid off before. This company has never laid off people before. It's going to be fine. They have this much cash in the bank. They have play. They're not going to let anyone go. That is a wrong way of doing this. That is not a plan.
Yes. All right. So now let's get into our plan. So step one, what to do if you've just been laid off or you believe a layoff is imminent, or even if you don't believe it, but there's an indicator that it's imminent.
Right. So number one is relax. Yeah. Just chill. I know it's an emotional thing. Hey, Amanda, I've already been through one, and I'm getting ready to go through a second one. I'm getting pretty good at furloughs. But it is a mental thing that someone tells you, oh, we may not need you anymore. There is a mental part to that, and I get it. So if you want to have a day to cry, that's fine. But at some point, you need to like, all right, I need to deal with this and plan forward. So don't take it personally. It's all business. You know, a lot of these companies are on the public stock market, right? They have a job to the shareholders. It has nothing to do with you.
That's right. What is the thing that people always say in movies? It's not business, or it's not personal, it's business.
It's not, don't take this so personally. It's business. Yeah,
so then the next step is make sure you do get what you are owed. So if you have unused vacation time or sick time or unpaid expense reimbursements, tuition reimbursements, insurance payments, make sure you've gone through your entire benefits package and that you don't have anything that is just sitting there on the table. So make sure you're organized so that when that happens, you can collect everything that you're owed.
I would make screenshots of all your current accounts if you don't have, a lot of it's electronic now, or make printouts, have whatever your current balances are for everything.
A lot of it's mostly on your pay stubs though too. So if you have your latest pay stub.
Yeah. The pay stubs are electronic with some of these companies now. There's no, just get everything printed out. At least you have something to refer back to. Yeah. What else we got?
All right. So then next, find out about continuing insurance coverage. So make sure you have a plan for when or if you lose your company benefits. What are you going to do to make sure that you are protecting yourself and your family in terms of insurance?
That is my number one issue I have to figure out. And I am getting ready to figure that out now because I'm basically with this company for that.
Yeah.
So it really saved me a ton on insurance. It's like, if this actually happens, I have to go out in the open marketplace to get insurance. Yeah. And I've never done that before. And it's expensive.
Insurance is getting very expensive this year with the pandemic. And the insurance companies have just been completely overwhelmed with claims. Health insurance has skyrocketed this year. Yeah.
And Amanda, all those years of me not touching my 401k in my retirement accounts, this is where I'm going to need it.
Yep.
And thank goodness I didn't touch it because I will be okay because I have retirement accounts that I did not pull out to buy a car. I let it compound or a house or anything else because the medical is your most expensive portion in retirement. I'm okay. It's just I'd like it at a big discount. What else we got?
So then if it comes down to it, you can negotiate a benefit package. Sometimes you can negotiate or they might have a big package that includes career coaching, resume writing, LinkedIn as profile assistance or membership fees, an office with telephone and administrative support, maybe online support, maybe access to specialized resources. They might have a standard package that is offered to everyone, but you also might be able to negotiate a little bit more than the standard if you know what you want to ask for that might be helpful for you.
Nice.
And even if you ask, what do you have to lose? The worst that's going to happen is they're going to say no and you're in the same position.
Yeah. Next one. Immediately request a laid off, not fired employee letter from HR.
Yeah.
What do we use that for?
So you want to make sure if you're laid off that you get a letter on company letterhead from someone in HR, hopefully the director, stating that you were laid off as part of a larger general layoff and not fired because of any personal performance problems. That is helpful because you can bring that letter with you on interviews, include it whenever they're asking for references, and it helps close that gap. If your employer's layoff is in the news, you might not need it for your first post-layoff job search, but you can always keep it handy for later ones. Again, employers, when they look at resumes, are looking for gaps and going to want to know what explains that gap in your resume.
Yeah.
And if they won't do it on letterhead, you might just get an email from the email account of the head of HR with their name and title on the message.
Nice. Hey, the next one, which I have experience with, immediately register for unemployment compensation with your local state employment office. Mm-hmm. It's because states, as states were not used to this many people applying for unemployment compensation. A lot of them have invested in computer systems, were forced to upgrade. Things are much better now. So if you do go apply for unemployment, a lot of states are a lot easier now. It's online. You don't have to do interviews unless something gets red flagged. So that will be a lot easier. If you have not done that before, at least figure out how to get it from your state. It's pretty simple. Google search. Make sure that you're on the correct website. There have been scam websites out there that will get all of your personal information. So verify you are on the correct website and have it ready to go. And at least download the manual to understand what your benefits are. That's a good way to do it. And also Your employer needs to report that you are been laid off or furloughed. And they will check within a certain amount of time once you apply to verify, because you just can't get it by applying. It has to be verified by your previous employer.
Yep.
So it's not as, I'm unemployed, just go get money. No, there's some verifications along the way. And don't do multiple states because they will know. They're all now linked up and they're finding a lot of fraud out there, or people that just did multiple claims, didn't know they should not do that. And now many are repaying back to states. And there are numerous stories now, Amanda, of people that thought they were doing the right thing. They probably made a mistake or whatever.
Yep.
Or otherwise are repaying back, and they will come get your money. So apply honestly whenever you apply.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. What else we got?
Well, like I like to say, stash your cash and plan your pennies.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I'm going to trademark that. I like it.
Put on a t-shirt. Yeah, guys, you want to pause your baby steps. So I think, do you agree we should stick with our same thing we came up back in March? We actually did this before Dave Ramsey did, by the way.
And then
he filed, and then I sent to his people.
He stole from us, yes.
Yeah, he should at least, well, they're not going to give us credit. But we came up with this back in March, a couple weeks before he came out with it. So the plan is pause your baby steps. If you're going through the baby steps, pause them, pay your minimums in baby step two, but start building up. It's almost like fast forwarding baby step three, right, Amanda? We want to build up that emergency fund and even make it bigger than normal. Once you lose your job, that will get you through 3 to 6 or even 9 months worth of expenses until we find another job. And even if it's multiple gigs or whatever it is to replace your income, once that comes about and you take all that money, you go back through baby step two or whatever, start one, work your way through, pay off all your debts with that money you saved up and so on, and then continue baby steps. Once everything, we're in the clear, which we anticipate, summer, fall, who knows?
Yes, summer or fall of 2021, which is, by the way, what Dr. Fauci has always said it was going to be.
Absolutely,
people just didn't believe him.
Absolutely.
There's a reason he's the lead expert on these types of things. But anyway, so the stash your cash is exactly what Craig says here. You want to just quit spending everything. Just put all of your money aside into an emergency fund. And even back in March, and again now, I am going to strongly encourage that you ignore the 3 to 6 months and do closer to 12 months worth of emergency fund. And look, Craig, March was 9 months ago. So those people who only had a 3 month emergency fund have been really struggling the last 6 months.
Right.
So again, I would push more towards the 12 months because no one has ever complained that they have too big of an emergency fund. So I would do that. And then the plan your pennies part is making sure that you have a budget in place. And we've done a number of episodes and segments on budgeting. We'll certainly dive back into that again in some of the upcoming episodes again, as well as for a recap. But stashing your cash and planning your pennies go hand in hand. You can't stash any cash if you've got none left over. And the only way you're going to have money to stash is if you're putting together a plan. You need to tell every penny where it needs to go.
You know, all the people, we do have people that listen to us back in March, April, and they're not the ones I'm seeing post right now. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the people post that did not do what we said and figured we were going to be fine this year. Mm-hmm. And now we're going through a second wave. And as I don't know who came up with this quote, but everyone sits there and flaunts how their life is. But once the tide goes out, then we know who's naked. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can fake it all you want. But at some point, now we're going through a second wave. If you aren't ready for this one, And you already had trouble with the first one. Now you're getting a whole year of this. So
I think this is the third wave because we had that big wave in July, right?
Yeah, you're right. There was a brief
lull. I think this is the third wave now.
Yeah. The next one is get to action and start getting a new job. And like I've been telling everybody, get out their resume because you may not be working for who you are now. And well, if that industry isn't working for you with that current company, you probably can't jump over to another airline.
Right.
So you probably need to start looking elsewhere. Get out that resume, either hire somebody and get it modernized. Some of you, like me, Amanda, I haven't done a resume in years. If you have an old resume, like you've been working somewhere for 10 years, resumes are different now than they were 10 years ago.
They are extremely different, and you don't want to be the one that's sticking out like a sore thumb having this antiquated looking resume.
Yeah.
They are much more modern looking now. And I would strongly encourage you, even if you feel like your job is secure now, it never hurts to have an updated resume on file.
Right. And also,
much easier to have a resume that you only have to do small tweaks to update than to start from scratch. Once you've lost your job and you're in a rough place emotionally and psychologically, get ahead of that. I mean, even if your job's secure, I keep my resume up to date. It's one of those things I just pull out every year and just do a quick little update on. It helps you to add bullet points to your existing job while you're in that rather than trying to think backwards.
Yeah. Also, don't forget about LinkedIn. If you're not on LinkedIn, you should get on there and get all that cleaned up. And your resume should reflect what's on your LinkedIn. And start adding people of the industries you're going to apply for, or even the companies that you're going to apply for. Start adding them to your network. It's a little bit harder now to do networking like after work, like at bars, or because that doesn't exist right now, or it's very limited. So the only place you can really do it is online, don't you think?
I do. I agree completely.
So start getting yourself involved in specialty groups on Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, all that sort of thing. Start cleaning up your social medias. Don't put anything on there that shouldn't be there. People look at that like a hawk. Mm-hmm. Don't get political. Don't get religious. Keep all that out of your Facebook and lock it down and start networking online, especially on LinkedIn, because that is the business social network. That's the best place to go for that.
You know, one of the things we talked about back in March as well with this getting active is creating your own business cards. I actually have changed my thought process on that. I think business cards are dead.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's taking a card out of your hand anymore.
No, I personally don't like it when someone gives me one because I'm like, crap, now you gave me, what do you call it, an obligation? Now what I got to do with this thing?
What am I going to do with this? Now I got, great, thanks for your litter.
Yeah, I end up with a stack of these things all the time. And I end up throwing them out.
Yeah.
I never look at them.
So I think business cards are dead. I've got a whole stack here to give out for things. And there's never an opportunity to hand those out. So don't waste your money on business
cards. Especially in the next year. Yeah. you're not going, if we were doing networking after work, that's different. But now you're at home. Your online needs to be your persona and needs to be cleaned up. And I'm telling you, if you've been doing political stuff, go back and erase all that stuff. It's not going to help you at all.
Right.
Clean it up.
Yeah. And then finally, to wrap this segment up, the last thing we're going to talk about is you can see the silver lining. So it may not feel like it at the time, but now could be the time to achieve your new personal goals or improve your mind, body, skills. And if you're happy, things can't be that bad. So if you focus on you and getting yourself into a better place, things might actually work out for the better. I'll tell you personally, I've gone through layoffs and being fired before. I'm not ashamed to say at this point in my life. And at the time, it felt like the absolute worst thing that happened in the entire world. And, you know, my life felt like it was over at the time. But in each case, it led to a better thing for me, that if I had not been fired or let go, I would have stayed in some job probably for years. Instead, I moved on to something else that had much bigger and better opportunities. So I know there's these sayings out there, and I'm not necessarily the religious type either, but you know, you hear things about when one door closes, a window opens. I think there's some truth to that, but you also create your own opportunity. So sometimes people need a nudge.
I would also add on to, we've talked about this before, I post on social media. You are the sum of the five people you hang out with most. You need to be hanging out with stronger people than you that will uplift you and give you a good persona as you move forward as well. Which is why.
What if you only hang out with one person?
Well, that would be you, Amanda. Virtually over the internet. But I believe that there's a lot to that as well.
You know? Yeah.
So, well.
And there are so many apps out there now that can help you with, you know, your mind, body, spirit type improvement. There's podcasts, there's apps, you know, this Calm app is out there. I'm not suggesting anyone pay for an app or a subscription, but there are plenty of free options as well. And you'll be surprised what it I know it sounds super corny because I'm not usually this corny, but just putting your mental health in a good place will have a huge impact on how you weather this storm. All right. Well, how about we take a break and then we'll come back with some social media questions.
Sure. All right. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Don't forget, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, and also our Facebook group and page at Rock on the Money. We got a couple of social media questions, Amanda. Ready to tackle these? I got me a 19-year-old with a question. I'm 19 years old and looking to open up a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA with who? I don't know which is better or who has the best rates. So I'm asking here for your advice. I'm currently planning to put in $1,000 every 6 months or $2,000 every year.
Yeah, that math checks out.
Yeah, but there's a couple of questions buried in there. So first, they want to know a Roth or traditional and with who?
Right. So let's start with the Roth versus traditional. Yep. So we always say Roth all day, right? Mm-hmm. So Roth is simply the name for the election of whether or not you're contributing money pre or before it's been taxed or after you've paid income tax on it. So we like to contribute money after you've already paid income tax on the money you've earned. And a Roth is only available to you if you do have earned income. So that's important.
Right.
If you don't have a job and you're not earning any income, then a Roth is not an option for you. You'll have to do traditional. You know, if you're just getting gifts from grandma, then you're not going to be able to open a Roth. But if you have earned income, then definitely do a Roth IRA. Because since you've already paid income tax on it, it will grow completely tax-free. So it doesn't matter how much money you make off of that $1,000 or $2,000 every year. It could grow to be $100,000 and you're not going to pay a penny of tax once you start pulling that money out as your retirement income.
There you go.
So definitely do the Roth. My son is also 19. He opened a Roth last year around Thanksgiving, and I learned just recently that he's contributing $75 a month. So I'm super proud of him for
that. That's awesome. Love it.
That is awesome. I know he's going to be a millionaire at a much younger age than I ever will be, but.
Well, same as me.
But that's what we're here for, making the next generation even better. You know, so definitely do the Roth if you have earned income. Now, the who part, we recommend one of three low-cost providers. We like Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard. So any one of those three is a good option. They have lower fees on their transactions and management.
There you go. I assume that's what they say, who has the best rates. Some of those funds that you can get into have zero cost.
Yeah.
It's almost like a gateway fund to get you in the door so you can probably stay with them and do other things as well. Schwab is also a bank. You can do banking with them. Fidelity is the same way. Vanguard's not a bank, but you know they have all the investing. They're the number two in the world. So, yeah. I mean, we like those three because they have very low cost. They treat their people really good, their customers. I don't like the ones where they have the high cost advisors attached to it. I'm not going to mention the names, but if you stick with those three, you're much better off. And if you do want advisory services, all three of those have very low cost people that will lead you through things if you choose and want that.
Yep. All right. Next question here, Craig.
Yep.
Someone here is looking for a reliable midsize SUV. What do you guys like?
I assume they mean
used. I'm asking you because you're the Consumer Reports guy.
Well, I assume they mean used. Number one.
Yes.
Yeah, because we don't recommend new vehicles here unless you have a net worth of over $1 million. The last time I looked, what would be, wait a minute, is a CRV or an RAV4, are those midsize?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so those are actually rated really high. And those are great SUVs. The RAV4 is great, and so is the CRV, which are competitors to each other. I would definitely look at those. All the Toyotas are great. For yeah. long term. And then, of course, if, you know, used ones are great as well. I mean, you'll do fine with those.
Yes.
I would stick with the ones that are long term based on Consumer Reports, long term ownership and for used car value would be those two is what I would recommend personally. How about you?
Yeah, no, I like it. I obviously have my own midsize SUV, right. Smaller SUV. I go with, I have a Lexus, but that's just a high-end Toyota. So yeah. I would certainly stay within the Toyota family.
But you didn't buy that new, did you?
No. I got a certified used. I like certified used because you get the benefit of the new vehicle with all the warranty yeah. and maintenance plans, but without the immediate depreciation.
People are always shocked. They always want to know what car I drive. I don't know what they're expecting to hear. You've seen my car.
Yes.
I drive a Civic two-door SI. Now,
let him fool you, though. He has all these fancy little upgrades on it, so it's not completely.
I bought every upgrade. I said, look, if I'm buying a Civic, I'm putting everything on it. And yes, I bought it new. It's a car I bought after I had a serious T-bone accident of a vehicle that was paid off.
Yeah.
So they gave me $13,000, I can't believe how much they gave me for the other Civic I had, which was a two-door coupe. I took that 13, put it right in this one. I really didn't pay that much more to get this one. It was actually less expensive to do this than the used route. So,
yeah.
And it still paid off. It was paid off immediately. So yeah. I paid cash. So
here's another question for you, Craig.
Go ahead. What's
the most affordable streaming service for live sports?
Oh, okay. I think we might have two different answers. Your husband is into soccer.
Soccer.
Mm-hmm. FIFA and all that, right? Does he watch all the yeah. British stuff? Like,
yeah, so I actually, he's not really into FIFA. He's only into the English Premier League.
Right. And
I shouldn't say only because it's like nonstop. So there's English Premier League, there's Champions right. League, there's like UEFA or something. I don't know. It just seems like there's always some kind of European soccer game on in my house.
So to answer this question, because that changes the answer to this. If you're really into soccer, I do believe Fubo, FUBO, is more into soccer and has all of that, if I recall. However, as far as sports, I would say YouTube TV all the way, all day long, YouTube TV. YouTube TV I have YouTube TV. Yes, it's not the least expensive, but it is the most amazing. Google runs this thing, right? It is amazing what it does. It's almost like Netflix. You know how Netflix has a algorithm to know what you like? Well, Google already knows what you like, so you can change your channels. It has your regional sports, has, like I have, I watch the Washington Capitals in the Washington, D.C. area. NBC Washington is on there. Every sports thing that I'm aware of is on there. I don't have to pay extra, I don't believe. It's all on there. And you can organize your channels to only the channels you want, similar to Roku. I love it. And it records. You can pick your teams on the YouTube TV app. And it will let you know when their schedule is. And so you only get that stuff. It's really amazing. Yeah. It has additional stats. It's crazy.
What we've been running into is, like with soccer, some of the games are on NBC Sports, so on normal cable channel. And then others, they only put on the Peacock network, which you have to have a subscription for. And then others are on the CBS streaming app, which you have to have a separate subscription for. So right now we're in the middle of a streaming nightmare because of soccer.
I think because Fox also does some of those too. FS1 does some soccer also.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, get your, you know, bleep together and put it all on one channel, for crying out loud.
Well, that brings up a good point, because what was that? Is it Charlie Brown Christmas was bought by somebody? It only will now appear, I think, on Amazon. So now this is what we're going to have a problem with moving forward the next 10 years. People are buying the properties, like The Office is now only available on Peacock. It's being removed from Netflix. Mm-hmm. So people are gobbling up the content that we want. And now, what we thought was really expensive with the cable company will actually probably have been the cheapest thing you ever had. Yes. Because if you want to watch, I like The Office, I like this, I like that, it's going to be on all these different companies. And the only way you can see it is you have to buy all of them. And your cable bill will now be even more expensive than it was in the past.
That's exactly what we're facing right now.
Yep. And what we all complain about.
That's not a helpful answer. Sorry.
No, it's not. But YouTube TV right now, you can go to all these websites. Go to YouTube TV. Go to Fubo. You'll see the channel line up. You type in your zip code, it'll tell you everything available for you. That's the first place I would go. But I'm telling you, Amanda, this savvy savings, there is no savvy savings with content anymore. They're gobbling it all up. They all want your $5, but you start adding up all these five and tens. Remember how we complained about Comcast? They're going to look pretty damn good at this point in the next 1 or 2 years.
Yeah. I just looked here in episode 57. We talked about the best streaming services. So that might be another one to take a look at.
And we did talk about the sports between the different ones.
We did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are great deals out there. The problem is, like you said, it's fragmented. It's only going to get worse. I can't believe someone bought Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
And now, it will not be on network TV anymore. I grew up with that. Mm-hmm. And The Office ends this month on Netflix. And you have to go to Peacock because that's an NBC property. So,
yeah.
Crazy. And well, I don't even have
Peacock. Those were some really great questions, Craig.
It was.
I think that made a great episode.
That's a big episode. It's a monster episode. This is going to take me about 5 hours to edit it. Thank you so much, Amanda. That was great. Thank you.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.